One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Just Interesting podcast, the show where we talk about things that we find just interesting. And welcome one and all, everyone in the chat. As you can see, it is sadly just two of us this evening. It's me, Alex, and Martin is joining me this evening.
Hello, hello, Alex.
How are you, Martin?
Well, I'm pretty good, although I must admit that I'm incredibly disappointed in Robin.
Yeah, a bit of a weird one recently. I mean, I know we joke about these every week. We come up with crazy, outlandish things, but this one was just a bit sad and a bit weird. You can talk about it.
Well, he just went off on one, didn't he? I mean, they call him the robot, and so he was suppressing all these emotions for so many years that he just lost it, didn't he? He came over, he phoned up and I said, Robin, okay, we're going to do the podcast on a Monday. And he said, Monday, no. I said, Tuesday. And he went, no, the Monday, it's the Monday or nothing. Mm. And so I basically said, well, it's going to be the Tuesday. That's when me and Alex are available to do it. It's going to be the Tuesday. I know it's not normal, but let's just breathe here. And he goes, shut up. Shut up, I'm coming over. And he came over and kicked my cat and my dog.
Yeah. And then he got an entire carton of eggs and just threw them on the ground. And he said, I don't even care about wasting the eggs. He said, and then he left.
And he threw a piece of beef at my window, which he's a vegetarian, for goodness sake. Just throwing beef about the place. Anyway.
Yeah.
So a sad week, and that's the reason he's not here. He stormed off.
He's just absolutely had an absolute rager. Went off fuming. I've never seen so many emotions come out of him. So hopefully he'll be back next week, but I don't know. I mean, with a man that angry, I don't know where he's going to be in a week's time. But
I know. Hopefully. Could be in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for everyone else's sake that he's been restrained by authorities. But
Fingers crossed.
But anyway,
he's probably going to turn up in a minute. It's vitriol. So if we have to block someone, it's probably him. I hate Alex and Martin 101. That's his username, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them at this point, but I don't know. You know, we still love you, Robin, and we, you know, wherever you are, we hope you come home. And
exactly.
That's what happens.
You laugh, but it's only out of embarrassment, really, for us. Well, as a whole.
I'm laughing outside to hide my tears. To be honest, I was quite emotional about it. But yeah. Anyway. On with the podcast. Moving on. Onwards and upwards.
Exactly.
Well, this week, Martin, I thought, and this was partially inspired by our last topic as well, where we were talking about mysterious sounds, and obviously the bloop came up. But I was thinking the ocean is a mysterious and vast place that we hardly know anything about. You know, we've barely scratched the surface. And there are uncountable...
Especially with our level of research.
Exactly, yeah.
Barely scratch the surface.
And there are so many myths and legends that have gone unaccounted for. But there are also some that keep getting brought up. And I feel like there are some explanations, some likely explanations that you can say for them. So I thought, let's just go through some of them and see what people think. And maybe we'll come to the conclusion that it's not as cut and dry as we might have thought initially.
Well, in fact, the ocean is quite wet.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
Thank you.
But we shall see. We shall see. But in the meantime, Martin, I think we should say hello to everyone who is watching us live over on YouTube. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We've got CS Drummerson in the chat. We've got Camera Shy Coco. We've got Sam Wong, the one and only Captain Wonky, and Aaron Lee. Welcome, one and all, and Doom. And we've got others as well. So welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in this evening. I know it's quite a late one. Apologies for being delayed. And if you're listening to this wherever you get your podcasts at a later date, why not tune in live on YouTube? I'd like to say it's at Monday, 9 p.m. BST, but honestly, I don't think we could even say that anymore. It's either Mondays or Tuesdays, it seems like. But we're going to try and get back to that normal routine of Mondays, exactly. 9 p.m. BST. But yes, Martin, would you like to have your mind tickled by a little riddle?
Oh, I would, but I guess after last week's. So, well, not last week's, whenever you did your last one, Alex. My goodness, it was bad.
Okay, well, Robin's not here, so there's no desire to annoy Robin with a terrible riddle this week. So I've gone for a maths-based riddle. Because I think that's one of your stronger points. I'm very impressed with how good you are at like maths things, Martin. So I've gone for a maths-based riddle here.
Oh, this doesn't sound fun.
It's not the most fun, to be quite honest, but hey, let's see. It might be super easy, really difficult. Here we go.
Right.
Riddle me this. I am 4 times as old as my daughter. In 20 years' time, I shall be twice as old as her. How old are we now? I'll say it again.
Okay.
I am 4 times as old as my daughter. In 20 years' time, I shall be twice as old as her. How old are we now? And feel free, if you know the answer, maybe just say you know the answer in the comments. You don't have to give it away just yet, but think on that. Do you want to make a note of it, Martin, or are you good?
So I'm 4 times as old.
Yeah.
In 20 years' time,
you'll be twice as old as her. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the answer at the end of the episode.
In 20 years' time.
In 20 years' time. That's how long the episode will be going on for.
This isn't that easy, actually, is it?
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad it's not a super easy. Old. Well, let's move on for now.
Okay.
And have that just on the back of your mind.
Okay, I like it.
But it's been a little bit of time since we've done the last episode. Have you learned anything exciting in that time that you can share with us?
Nothing.
Oh.
No, I have. Of course I have. Of course.
Oh,
well, did you know, Alex, that in the Middle Ages, some people were buried alive?
Oh, God. That's like one of my worst fears. That'd be so horrible.
It's a bad one, isn't it?
That's a bad one.
And that's what I learned this week. No. So they found it a little bit difficult to determine exactly how people died. And mix in this with...
Oh, they really were idiots, weren't they?
And there was also a bit of fear. A bit of fear about people rising from the graves. You know, Walking Dead shit going on, right? Mm. A little bit afraid.
They're more likely to if they're still alive. I'm just saying.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And so what they did is to prevent people from being buried alive, they attached a string, which would basically go from the outside of the grave site, underneath the grave, into the coffin. And what people would do if they were alive and buried alive is that they would have this string in there, and they'd wake up and go, oh my goodness, I'm buried alive, and they'd pull on the string. And it would ring a bell outside, up above, you know, on the ground level, so to speak. And people could hear, they could dig them out, and they'd be rescued.
Oh, that's quite a nice idea, actually. Yeah, just in case.
It's a good idea, isn't it? Just ring the bell, yeah. And that's where the phrase, saved by the bell, comes from.
Wow. Okay, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. That's where the saying comes from, saved by the bell.
Yeah.
I will never look at Zach Morris the same way again. Wow.
Wasn't he on some charges or something? Was it him or the other? Was it the other one? Was that
who's? Is that are you thinking of the Drake and Josh guy?
Drake Bell. Yeah. He went off the rails, right?
Yeah. No, Zach Morris, didn't he go on and star in Suits? Is that him?
I've never seen Suits, I've got to be honest. Maybe. I'll take your word for it.
Well, that's a really interesting fact, though, Martin. I don't understand the necessity for it. Just be sure that they're dead. I don't understand.
Why just go was that? With a knife. Just go with a knife and stab them a few times. And if they're not dead then they will be.
Yeah, just shake them. I don't know. Is it like if someone's in a coma or something? And they're like, are they dead? Or do we bury them?
I reckon it's probably more for peace of mind of the family, right? Are you sure?
Just in case.
Are you sure? Let's put a bell there. Yep.
Yeah. I do wonder if that was they ever had to use that, like if that ever happened, that the bell rang.
Oh man, there could definitely be some other reasons why the bell rang, like the wind or the rope moving or the string moving, and people be like, "Oh my goodness, they're alive." Dig up the grave; it's just still a body.
Actually, yeah, I wonder how many times that happened more than anything else.
Oh, another false alarm.
Never mind. Oh. Well, I think you've topped my interesting fact this week, but yeah.
What have you got for us?
Well, what I learned this week, or what I saw online, which I thought was just amazing. Hmm. So there was a man who was discovered to be unknowingly missing 90% of his brain and was just going about his life, living a normal life.
What? So, what do you mean?
Well, it's literally what I just said. Like he just didn't.
What do you mean lived a normal life? Like did he have a low IQ? I mean, what was going on?
He did have quite a low IQ, but like just below average. He was still living a perfectly ordinary life.
If only I had a full brain, I'd be so clever.
So this was a 44-year-old man from France, and this was in 2016. He was starting to experience weakness in his leg, so he went to hospital. And that's when doctors told him he was missing most of his brain. The man's skull was his skull was full of liquid with just a thin layer of brain tissue left. So he had hydrocephalus is what it's called. I don't know what actually happened to him after this was a deteriorating condition. But the fact that he was like didn't even know this was happening.
That's bizarre.
It's quite a sad story. IQ was tested at the same time as this complaint, and he had an IQ of 84, which is below the normal range, but, perfectly socially apt. But that just goes to show you, like, how versatile our brains are, and also has massive implications for the fact that we kind of think there are specific parts of the brain that do specific things.
Yes.
But the fact that someone could just have a perfectly ordinary function in society.
I know.
Whilst missing 84% of their brain is crazy.
That is wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
84%. And so what
90%. I don't know why I said 84%. 90% of his brain.
I mean, he must still have the most important parts, right? Because he can function, his mental brain capacity is functioning. He can walk and talk, I imagine,
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I guess he must do, but
I guess his brain must have adapted as well, right? You'd think that you'd have all sorts of issues, right? I'm on level with you here. I don't know the intricacies of the brain, but I imagine that it affects most of your function.
Like, has he lost a bunch of memories, or like, did he always have this and they just didn't know? The article's really short; it doesn't give much information. But like,
damn it,
was it a deteriorating condition that it wasn't always this way, or is he literally from birth been like this? It's crazy, weird, like strange to think about, but it's also unlocked a new fear. I don't know, maybe this is a little bonus fact, but the film The Truman Show, that
love it,
basically started a new psychological condition where people would think that they were in the Truman Show. I feel like that film unlocked that new fear for me in the same way that reading this has unlocked a new fear.
I know.
But what if I'm just missing?
What if I'm living with half
85% of my brain? and I don't even know it.
Yeah. My head's feeling light today.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does that work then? Which part of the brain was missing? Like, it's quite a a structured piece, right? So just was it just in one rattling about the place? Or?
No. So if you look at the picture, it's kind of like the set, like all of the center is gone, and it's just like a thin outer region that's still brain.
Really?
Yeah. It's very bizarre.
It's remarkable. Yeah. Remarkable.
Just like, yeah, it looks like maybe he was just lucky and it's just the important bits that are still there. But
yeah,
it's interesting. Shit. We really don't know enough about the brain, do we, and how it all works.
Clearly not, no.
We're still some way off from uploading our minds to machines, I think.
Mm. Excuse me, you've tried to upload your brain, but actually a lot of it's missing.
You've got a lot of spare data.
What do you mean, the digital footprint's missing? No, literally, your brain's missing.
Mm.
Oh.
You got a lot of free storage space if you want to put a few more movies or songs in there as well.
Shit.
Mm. Wow. Well,
that's mad.
Well, Martin, before we move on to the main topic, the first thing I want to do is thank our many Patreon supporters and YouTube members for supporting us all this time.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, so, so much for all of your support. And there are a few people that I'd like to give a specific shout out to. And those people are Ahmed, Caleb Wilkerson, Hey Hey Swamboat, Henny Ruffle, Janie, John Baker, Kurt Jones, Nicholas Dill, Rashad Najjar, The Super Show Podcast, which is a podcast that everyone should be listening to by this point, A Filthy Casual, The One and Only Peaswad, Emmett Tapia, Josh Chomatek, and Simon Workman. And of course, our YouTube member going strong, Captain Wonky. Thank you all of you so, so much. And if you would like to support us on either YouTube or Patreon, then you would have access to over 100 episodes of A Little More Interesting, where we, you know, if you're not sick of hearing about us currently, you can just listen to more of us, where we talk about some interesting stories that have happened. It's normally more news-based stories, isn't it? Things that have happened in the past week or
That's
so
right.
that we're reacting to a lot of the time. And sometimes we just kind of, we just kind of have informal chats. Like we played, what was it? Would You Rather the other week. And that was quite a fun one that we did.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very good one. Yes.
So, yeah, if you'd like to support us, then feel free. But no pressure. No pressure. Martin, were there any comments from the last week that you wanted to call out or chat about?
There were indeed. I mean, Michael Bilawa Jr. So speaking of sound, so this was in relation to our most mysterious sounds ever recorded.
Yeah.
Michael writes, have you gents either here or on a previous channel covered broadcast intrusions or number stations?
Oh, I love that topic. Yeah,
great topic. And the answer is yes, we have, but not for a little while. And it would be good to revisit. So definitely, broadcast intrusions. Of course, there are some very high profile ones like, Max Headroom, probably the most famous.
The Max Headroom case, yeah.
Yeah.
What other ones?
I
remember there was a weird Doctor Who one, wasn't there, over here in the UK?
Yes.
Where it was like some cult overtook like a broadcast of Doctor Who episode and saying like the mothership is calling you home or something weird. I don't know if there was like a golden era for that kind of thing, wasn't there? Broadcast intrusions. I don't know if we're past it now or if there are some places that you still get good broadcast intrusions.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as frequently, does it?
Yeah, that's not really where people are, is it? In terms of broadcast. I mean, the market share is probably not in analog radio anymore. So,
not really. but no, that is a fascinating topic, one that I really like. And number stations are incredibly creepy. Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll talk about that some point in the future if people want that.
Sounds good.
Well, I have a comment from Taddy Bear, from last week's episode. And this was in relation to a stat I mentioned which is basically saying that 50% of people, of men, think that they could land a plane without any experience.
Oh, no. No, don't do it to yourselves. It's embarrassing.
And Taddy Bear said, I reckon I could land a plane, but I am Kiwi, so I'm very much in that group of blindly confident idiots. So just for context, the study that original statement came from was based in New Zealand. So it was New Zealand participants saying that
makes sense.
50% of male New Zealand participants thought that they could land a plane without any experience.
That's crazy.
What are you thinking? I think it was just that they were allowed to watch a video of a pilot landing a plane, but it wasn't an instructional video or anything. It was just them doing it. And then they had to give their verdict. And they were like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, looks all right. Looks all right. I love it. I love it. The confidence to think. And then they said that the instructional video was completely useless, right?
So like a flight expert watched the video and said,
completely useless.
There's no instructional merit in this video whatsoever.
But I guess only idiots would realize that that's the case as well.
Yeah.
It's good. I've seen airplane.
But as I said last week, I think, you know, maybe confidence is the key. You know, you don't want a pilot thinking, oh my God, I'm probably going to crash and, you know, kill everyone. You know, whereas if confidence is like, yeah, I can do this, maybe they would be more likely to be able to actually land the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to have someone who's going to step up and try it at least, right?
Yeah.
You can't be tentative. But yeah.
But let us know in the comments.
I've been a co-pilot. No. I think I can land this.
yeah. But let us know in the comments. What do you think? In fact, I might start a poll, actually. Could you land a plane with no experience?
Could you land? I love it. What do you reckon? We don't influence the poll by making predictions about the poll, but I'm going to note down a number that I think it will be.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. I won't make a note, but I'll think it in my head.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Okay.
The confidence.
Well, Martin. With all that said and done, shall we get into the main topic this week, which is, of course, discussing ocean myths and their likely explanations?
Yes, let's.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Welcome to the Jazz Club.
Yeah, I like our little jingle. That's been a good addition this season. Speaking of our seasons, actually, I think we're probably coming to the end of this one, aren't we?
It must be close. Just got to wait until I'm winning in the quiz, and then we'll finish there.
I think Robin's just taken the lead in the quiz.
I know, we've got to carry on for a few weeks. Yeah,
I probably can't make a comeback, sadly. But
well, you give it enough weeks, Alex. There's a chance. There's always a chance.
It's pointless anyway, Martin. You've got the trophy, and you refuse to give it to anyone else.
I don't have the trophy. Robin came, when he came round, he kicked the dog. Actually, that was part of the reason he came round. Came round, kicked the dog, kicked the cat, spat at my window and stole the trophy.
No, I don't.
And only one of those things was legitimate.
I was there and I didn't see that. That's the one thing he didn't do.
Well, take the trophy.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so ocean myths. Shall I start with one?
Yeah, start off. Should we go for? We've got a few different categories here. Just a bit of a, you know, a precursor to the to the meat of the topic. We've got some different categories, which makes it sound like it's going to be kind of a quiz, but what should we start with?
I think we've broken it down into some iconic kind of categories for ocean myths. So we've got man-made things that are man-made, like underwater cities and that sort of thing. We've got ghost ships, because that's a popular thing. And then we've got legendary sea monsters. So I think let's start with the classic, the man-made stuff.
Okay,
so cool. Why don't we start with, number one on the list, and that's Atlantis. It's one of our favorite topics that we would always discuss. Is the lost secret underwater city of Atlantis real? Was it ever real? Could it have ever truly existed? And there are some interesting theories regarding this, but based on everything that we've looked at, I'd have to say not really. However, I think that there is the actual true story behind Atlantis is kind of more interesting. And that's that it was probably based on a real event that occurred. So Atlantis, the story of Atlantis was based on Plato's writings. That's where it comes from originally. And it was in, his dialogues, Timaeus and Critias. He wrote about Atlantis as a powerful, advanced civilization that existed around 9,000 years before his own time, but ultimately met a catastrophic end when it was swallowed up by the sea in a single day and night. And this story has captured people's imaginations for centuries. And, there have been so many theories pointing out where Atlantis could have been. And there are some interesting ideas out there. But it was probably inspired by real life events, such as the eruption of the volcanic island of Thera, which is present day Santorini, in the Aegean Sea around 1600 BC.
Okay.
So kind of around the time of Plato as well. And this was the largest eruption in recorded history, and is at the time. And this is thought to have caused massive tsunamis that would have devastated the surrounding areas, including the ancient Minoan civilization on the nearby island of Crete. So historians believe that the story of Atlantis may have been inspired by the destruction of the Minoan civilization and the sinking of the island of Thera. And if you look at Santorini,
interesting,
like a top-down image of Santorini, it actually kind of does look like, those imagined drawings of Atlantis with the three rings.
Yes.
Like rings, yeah, going, yeah, inside of each other.
Concentric circles.
Concentric circles, that's what I'm after, yeah. So I think that's, the whole story is a allegory, isn't it? It's like a metaphor for
this
nation at its height, and they're in their hubris, in their greed and arrogance, they, angered the gods.
So is I take it the city collapsing into the water in a day, that's also a metaphor, right? It's like the imminent fall of a civilization.
How long it takes to build something and how quickly it is to destroy it, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. There are civilizations that have collapsed in a day. Like I don't know this volcanic eruption, but certainly imagine Pompeii. I imagine that took place in a day, if not a couple of days most. And other volcanic disasters that have happened. But yeah,
interesting.
What do you think? Do you think Atlantis ever was a real city, or do you think it was just based on other cities? There have certainly been cities that have been absolutely destroyed by natural disasters that we're not a,
Yeah.
That's not a foreign concept to us.
Yeah, I think it's definitely easy to say that it's a myth, right? It's a purely mythological. But as you say, yeah, there are often elements of truth here. Mm. It's true. Yeah, it's difficult to know, but was it a real place that was lost to history? It could have been, but there's very little evidence to suggest so. And with the technology that we've got today, you'd expect there to be some remnants of the Lost City.
Yeah.
And there's very, very few, you know, explanations for it. So I think you'd have to veer on the side of it being a mythical city, but as you say, based on
what I do find on some truth. Interesting. And looking into this, and there's a lot of this. This is a kind of a recurring thing that happens with a lot of these stories. Is that there's like a combination of historical events, mythology, and folklore from various cultures all around the world. So not necessarily mm-hmm. Atlantis, but, you know, for example, the ancient Egyptian myth of the sunken city of Heracleion, or the lost city of Ys from Breton folklore, the Hindu myth of the sunken city of Dwarka. There's like similarities across mm-hmm. different cultures. There's almost like a unified shared story of a sunken city somewhere. And I find that's kind of weird, isn't it? Like how there's this...
Yeah. It's almost throwing back... It's almost when cultures talk about the... Or anyone from any culture really talks about this golden age of the past, right?
Mm.
This mythical age where everything, you know, was amazing. And I think sometimes you have that in society of just like, oh, I was, you know, everything was better in my day. It's almost throwing back to a time where, you know, this idealized version of your civilization... or society, no matter what that is.
Yeah.
And so that's probably, perhaps that's why it's replicated the world over.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm talking bullshit.
No, I think you may be onto something there. I think as well, like with a lot of these stories, it's like civilizations are influenced by other civilizations and their stories. And it kind of just gets passed on down the line, maybe. Like stories of the Great Flood. I think that's also not exclusive to Christianity. I think there's stories all over the globe about, you know, a great flood for many weeks and many days.
Yes.
True. I don't know.
True.
Interesting. But so I have to say, I do kind of think that Atlantis, it was just a story, but it was a story that Plato wrote, you know? In a thousand years, are we going to say that Hogwarts existed? No.
But they'll be questioning it.
But yeah, anyway, that's just my two cents.
Cool. Well, my potentially man-made structure is Yonaguni Monument, which is a rock formation off the coast of Yonaguni Island, which is part of Japan's I'm going to butcher this completely. Ryukyu Islands. Sounds about right.
Now, this one's interesting because unlike Atlantis, it actually exists.
Exactly. Well, yes. But
as in like we, the rock formation exists. It's a real site that you can go and visit.
It is. And it was discovered in 1986 by a local diver around the area. And immediately people were like, what on earth is this? Because it looks like it's a big man-made structure underwater, and it has very sharp edges. It looks like stacks and stacks of bricks and cement have been piled on top of each other. If you're thinking of an underwater monument, this is what you'd have in mind, because it basically does look man-made. And so people thought, what is this? Is it an ancient city that was here? Is it some kind of religious temple? And it looks like there are different like steps leading up to it, right? Or terraces. It's basically like an underwater structure in some ways, a little bit like the pyramids in terms of it has steps moving upwards, on this particular structure.
I'll just put a picture on screen.
Yeah, I was going to ask actually if you could, because it is quite spectacular. I mean, which one have you gone for? Okay, yes. Yeah, so from that picture, people at home will have to imagine this, but there's a diver diving around it, and there's lots of angular ledges, is the word really, isn't it?
I think that's like it, isn't it? Because whatever it's trying to say, like those angles look so man-made, don't they? They look like they've been carved intentionally.
Exactly, but that might not be the case. And there are a few reasons why. Scientists believe that this isn't the case. The first one is that it's based in an area that's home to seismic activity, And so people think that this rock formation is due to natural geological processes like tectonic movements and erosion and weathering as well. Mm. You see at other sites around the world that there are amazing geometric shapes that have been formed quite naturally. I don't know if you've ever been there, Alex, but Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland, there are these amazing hexagonal rocks that are formed in perfect hexagons across the whole of this beach. It's amazing. I went there a couple of years ago. And it's purely naturally made. And you'd be like, this has to be man-made because it's an incredible geometric shapes, but it's not. And so that's one of the reasons. So other rock formations around the world have similar geometric shapes that have been proven to be naturally formed. And then, of course, there's no evidence to prove that that it's a man-made structure. So there's nothing to suggest that people ever created any kind of monument at this site, whether underwater or originally on land. Scientists have just basically said that, yeah, actually, although this looks like it's man-made, it's a naturally forming structure, which is quite incredible because it doesn't look like it.
It really does. Like from certain angles, it does kind of look like an underwater pyramid, I guess. People have said it's like a whole city underwater. They've got like they've mapped out where the main terrace is, an archway gate, the like entrance way, it's weird, but it's just a natural formation.
I mean, quite incredible. If you were going to make an underwater city, I'm not sure that'd be the best material to use.
Just carve it out of bedrock.
Would it have even been possible to make?
Well, that's why I think that it was such an amazing discovery. Like, people were so like, what? They did what? You know, like,
yeah,
they made how this?
How would you go about that at the bottom of the ocean? On the seabed floor.
Yeah. But then looking into it, they were like, oh, actually.
No. Yeah, really. Exactly. So, yes.
Interesting. So,
Yonaguni looks like it is naturally forming.
Mm. Fair enough. Well, shall we talk about ghost ships, Martin?
One of my favourites. Yes, let's. What have you got for us?
Well, I've gone for, it's a classic. It's the Flying Dutchman. Do you know where the Flying Dutchman comes from, Martin?
Holland.
That's correct, yes. So it's likely that the Flying Dutchman, which for context is a legendary ghost ship, that is said to sail the seas forever, unable to make port. According to legend, the ship is crewed by the souls of sailors who died at sea and is doomed to sail the ocean until Judgment Day.
I like it poetic.
And it's likely that this was inspired by real tales of ghost ships and the superstitions of sailors. So Dutch sailors who believed in the existence of ghosts and spirits. Dutch folklore, which features stories of cursed ships and sailors who are doomed to sail the seas forever. But also what I want to talk about is sightings of the Flying Dutchman often claim that they see a ship floating, you know, over the sky.
Yes, that's a common trope, isn't it?
Yeah, they see a ship and that's how it approaches, like floating in the clouds. And it's like, oh no, it's the Flying Dutchman. But
did it fly?
That is actually a common optical illusion. It is a simple mirage, or otherwise known as a Fata Morgana, which is kind of like how the light refracts, but it's quite complicated to explain. But when you're looking at a ship, the light has basically refracted and made it appear above the ocean.
Interesting.
Like a mirage when you look on, you know, you see, it's typical that people in the desert see an oasis.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What's actually happening there is the light is refracting from the sky, like the heat waves. And so they're looking at the ground, the desert, but they're seeing sky on the ground.
Yes.
And that's what's causing it to look like a, you know, an oasis. And cruel, a Fata Morgana is the opposite. So it's, they're looking at the ocean. Though it's taking something from the ocean, in this case, a ship, and putting it in the sky.
That's amazing. So imagine that. That must happen still now and be like a fair, not a common sight, but like a fairly notable thing, even in today's maritime climate, right? Like people see like modern ships in the sky.
I mean, you look on, there's just look online. There are like pictures of, you know, oil tankers that are floating in the sky. And I'm pretty sure,
so cool.
Pretty sure that that's not, you know, the Flying Dutchman. I'll see if I can get a picture of that up as well.
That's crazy. I can't believe I'd never heard of this. I can't believe I'd never seen this. And I've been a sailor for a decade.
No. You haven't been sailing in any hot climates, Martin.
That's true, actually. Yeah. No, I need the mirage.
Oh, gosh. There you go. I put an example of that on screen.
Great.
It's not a full one, but you can kind of see.
Oh, yeah. That's what you mean.
Yeah. It's not a full one, but that's a clear example of it.
So people were seeing a ship.
Yeah.
They were just seeing it. Interesting. So the ship must be going either in another direction to them or away from them, right? Because otherwise they'd be like, oh, my goodness, there's the Flying Dutchman with its red sail or whatever, like notable features, and they're like, oh, actually no, it's just come towards us and it's just a normal ship on the sea.
Yeah exactly. I mean, yeah. But it wouldn't always be heading in your direction. They'd probably see it off in the distance and then it would just by each other and they'd be like, well, we just saw a flying ship, just saw the Flying Dutchman, and he chose to let us live this time. So yeah,
thank goodness to tell the tale. Yes,
but that was always one that I think with a lot of these, it's like the real explanation I find more interesting than the myth, you know? So
there's usually some scientific geological or scientific explanation for a lot of these, isn't there?
Yeah. And I love that. I love the kind of where these myths actually come from and the kind of likely explanation behind them. It doesn't take anything away from me. If anything, adds a little something to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my ghost ship is the infamous Mary Celeste.
Hey, we can't talk about ghost ships anymore.
No, it would be rude, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So the Mary Celeste was discovered abandoned in the Atlantic in 1872 after setting sail from New York City in the beginning of November, which was bound for Italy. So there was a crew of seven, along with Captain Benjamin Briggs and his wife and daughter. And then in December, so a month after the ship set sail, it was discovered drifting with no one on board.
Ooh.
Where had they all gone? But the ship's cargo and supplies and other bits and pieces were still intact and on the ship, and there was no sign of any kind of damage or foul play. You know, there was no, you know, blood on the decks or anything like that. So what had happened to the Mary Celeste? Of course, this sparked a whole load of curiosity and speculation.
I think that was what like has made this one probably the most famous ghost ship sighting, isn't it? It was the fact that things were just left in place and it wasn't like pirates had obviously ransacked the ship or anything. It was just...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So some people suggest that, you know, it could have been pirates taking them hostage. But if so, why would pirates leave a whole load of valuable goods on board? They wouldn't. So unlikely to be that. Another explanation was that it could have been a mutiny. So did the crew mutiny against the captain and his family, you know, throwing them overboard or killing them and then abandoning ship?
Why would they abandon the ship, though?
That, yeah, exactly. That seems, again, that seems unlikely. And why would you also leave a whole lot of things on board? People thought that it could have been a sea quake. So a massive wave under the sea damaged the ship and forced the crew to abandon it. But there was, again, there was no clear signs of there being any particular distress on board. A water spout, perhaps. So caught in a water spout, caused damage to the ship and forced the crew to abandon it. And then, of course, some people believe that it was either supernatural or that perhaps a giant squid-like creature had attacked and killed the crew, causing them to abandon the ship. But it seems like none of these explanations were actually the reason for the abandonment.
Okay.
And a long time later, more recently, people looking into this have suggested that the reason for them abandoning the ship could have been due to concerns quite simply about its seaworthiness and the possibility of there being an explosion. The reason being that there was a lot of alcohol on board. It was carrying a huge cargo of alcohol, which could have potentially been volatile and caused an explosion if the barrels were leaking. Other people have said that potentially could have been taking on water, which made it unsafe to continue their voyage. People have suggested that actually it could have been, the crew could have been overcome by fumes from the ship's cargo of alcohol, causing them to become disorientated or unwell. Mm. But it seems like actually that it's quite simply due to the seaworthiness. That was the reason that they potentially abandoned the ship. Carry alcohol, the alcohol was potentially dangerous, and as a result, they decided to abandon the ship. But I prefer the giant squid theory, to be honest with you. That's my favorite.
A giant squid rocked up, did no damage to the ship, and just gently plucked each and every person off the boat.
Yep.
I like that theory.
Exactly. Yeah. One by one. Very Pirates of the Caribbean. But that's the one I'm going with. But
you're right. That is what I heard, though. Like, I heard that what could have happened was they launched a dinghy. Everyone got into a little boat, tied to the ship, trailing behind them just as they assessed it, and then for whatever reason the rope broke or the ship got away. And then they were just left stranded in the ocean in a tiny little boat while their ship sailed off.
Yes.
And at that point, someone presumably said, I've made a huge mistake.
Does anyone have any other ideas? Or?
Mm.
Yes. Anyone any flares?
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, no. Well, we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation in a couple of days' time then, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that that's the most likely option. But I mean, generally, as mysteries go, there's a reason why the Mary Celeste is up there. It's a good one with not a lot of explanations that make sense.
Yep. No, it's a classic. It's a classic, and we could not bring it up.
Yeah, definitely. It's still that explanation does make sense, but to me, it is still a bit of a question mark, the Mary Celeste.
We still don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I kind of hope it stays that way.
Okay. Was there any other ghost ships?
I think those were the two we went for.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about some legendary creatures.
Oh, yes.
Now, for those of you that have seen the thumbnail, you'll probably know what I'm going to talk about. But mermaids are mythical creatures. Half human, half fish, Martin.
Half human, half Vulcan.
Often depicted as beautiful women with long hair and a fish-like tail. And according to legend... Fishy women. And according to legend, they would sing to sailors and lure them to their death. Interestingly, a bit of background, because I was wondering, where was the first ever mention of mermaids? Where do they come from? Any guesses?
This is really annoying because I was looking up the difference between sirens and mermaids a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember.
Well, I mean, yeah, sirens are kind of thought to be possibly one of the inspirations behind it.
Mm.
But the first recorded mention of mermaids in human history can be traced back to ancient Assyria, from a civilization that existed in the Near East. And in Assyrian mythology, there were goddesses known as Apkallu, who were depicted as half human and half fish. And these creatures had been sent to impart wisdom to humanity.
Mm.
And also, like you said, in Greek mythology, They were, you know, there were sirens. These were half bird and half human, and they lured sailors to their death with enchanting songs. So it's not quite mermaids, but you can see there's similar threads being pulled out there. And this dates back to 700 BC in Homer's Odyssey was their first mention.
Okay.
Mermaid legends and stories also appear in folklore and mythology from many other cultures, including Celts, Norse, Native Americans. Mermaids are believed to either be benevolent or malevolent beings who could bring good luck or misfortune to humans. So it's a broad topic. But the likely explanation for many of the sightings that have happened over the years, I think, are probably sailors who were isolated at sea for long periods of time. They're trying to see a human in anything that they're looking at, and they see...
That fish looks like a woman.
And some people have said that manatees or seals might have been confused for mermaids.
Jeez.
But the thing is, if you look at manatees...
It makes us question what the women look like back at home, doesn't it?
I'm going to try and find a picture because there was one... This didn't make sense to me. But then there was one picture I saw of a manatee. Oh God, this sounds bad. The sentence isn't sounding good already.
Go on, Alex. Just carry on, and we can.
But,
you know, we
no,
can
but you can. It's almost like in their tail, you can almost see like legs outlined in them. I know that sounds weird,
okay.
But I kind of got it. I got where they were coming from after a while.
I need to see this now.
Yeah, now I can't find it, so I'm not making it up.
I believe you.
Okay. I'll track it down and find it when I can.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean I believe that. I think sailors at sea haven't seen another human being in months.
Yeah.
I think that's a likely explanation.
I think that makes sense.
Other sea creatures. We've got to talk about the Kraken, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
A giant sea monster said to dwell off the coasts of Norway and Greenland. It's said to be so large that it can swallow entire ships whole.
What?
There's no record of this, except for the Mary Celeste, obviously. But the Kraken can be traced back to Scandinavian folklore and mythology. Specifically, tales of sea monsters told by sailors and fishermen in the seas around Norway and Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
Kraken itself, the word comes from Old Norse word kraki, which means twisted, crooked, or wrinkled.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Oh, there you go. Free fact for you.
Thank you.
So there's no concrete evidence to suggest that this existed, but what is it essentially? Because I mean, you look at it and it's a giant squid, right? So does the Kraken exist? And is it just a giant squid?
Is it just a giant squid?
Which are massive in themselves. But they were only, relatively recently discovered, weren't they? Like in the last 30, 40 years, giant squid, I want to say. But maybe I'm mistaken.
There's of course the question of what sea creatures underwater, deep ocean sea creatures, do we not know about?
Yeah.
Right. And I guess when we spoke about the help me out here. The bloop.
Oh, the bloop. Yeah, of course.
One of the things that it could have been was an unknown sea creature that was vast, right, living deep below the oceans, making this huge noise. Perhaps, just perhaps, and you're going to tell me otherwise in a second, but perhaps it was a Kraken.
Well, I mean, I'm not actually going to tell you anything, because there is actually a phenomenon about that. Well, for deep sea creatures have a tendency to be bigger than their slightly shallower counterparts.
Mm.
And this is a form of, it's called abyssal gigantism. So who knows? I mean, we haven't really explored those many deep areas of the ocean. So there could be a massive version of a creature. I mean, we see that we've seen fossils and teeth of megalodon sharks.
Yes.
Sharks true. Two or three times the size of the largest sharks out there today. So there's a giant squids. The ones that we found have been around 40, 50 feet in length. So, I mean, that is a sea monster, isn't it? That could be described as the Kraken. So,
yes.
You know, yeah. There are no records of a giant squid ever destroying a ship, though. I imagine this is a case of one washed up on the beach, which happens every now and then, doesn't it? And then sailors create stories around that, you know.
Yeah. That's it, isn't it? It's the whole, again, the line of there are threads of truth in a lot of these myths.
I mean, now we have scanning technology, we have underwater diving gear, we have photos, you know, all sorts of technology at our disposal, sonar, everything. Mm-hmm. Imagine a few hundred years ago, you're just a fisherman and you're wandering down the beach and suddenly you see a 50-foot monster giant squid wash
up. What is going on?
I mean, that is a sea monster.
Yes. For all intents and purposes, it is, isn't it?
So does the Kraken exist? I'm going to say, yes, it does.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can perfectly understand where that comes from. Yes, it does. But now, these days, we just call it a giant squid. But maybe there is a possibility that there was at one point, or maybe still is, an even bigger...
It's always a bigger fish.
Even bigger giant squid. And I wouldn't be surprised at that, if there was one, at least.
Yes. Yeah.
And speaking of giant sea monsters, we got to talk about sea serpents as well, which also crop up in mythology a lot. You know, it's a legendary marine animal, traditionally resembles an enormous snake, hundreds of feet long. And a really famous sighting of a sea serpent was in 1817. This was the incident of the Gloucester sea serpent. So in Gloucester, Massachusetts, many people reported seeing a sea serpent that was approximately 80 feet long, with a head resembling a horse, apparently.
What?
It was widely reported in newspapers at the time and is still considered one of the most credible sea serpent sightings in history. I think because so many people saw it over the course of several days and months. Huh. I do have to wonder with that, though, because you get that. I imagine it's kind of a similar situation to the Mothman of Point Pleasant, you know. There was maybe one or two sightings in quick succession, and then over the course of like several weeks and months, suddenly everyone was seeing it.
Yeah, a bit of bandwagoning. Yeah.
Looking at the ripples in the ocean, you know. Or alternatively, it could have been something else. Similar to a giant squid, a sea serpent could have been an oarfish.
Okay.
Have you seen an oarfish, Martin? Because they are massive. They're massive, oarfish. Like eels.
Oh my god! Okay, yeah. Oh wow! There's a picture on here of about 20 people holding one in their arms. That's giant. Yeah.
And they can grow up to roughly 40 feet long as well. So I mean, for all intents and purposes, you see one of those in the ocean. Yeah. I mean, you're going to say that's a sea serpent, and I don't blame you.
I would. I would say that.
Let's, I'll see if I can get an image up as well. But I mean, so that's what I like about some of these explanations. It's like, it's not, oh no, they don't exist, never existed. It's all, you know, mass hysteria or anything. But, you know, they basically did exist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They still do. There are pictures of them. That's why I kind of like it, these kind of explanations.
Yeah.
I
wonder if people are as surprised at this as we are now. Like, this is where legends come from, right?
Yeah.
Someone sees one of these washed up. Mm. And as you say, they make a whole story about it. They see this on a beach, this oarfish, next to, you know, some parts from a shipwrecked boat, and you could quite easily decide to add two and two together and make up a whole story about how it destroyed the crew and left no one alive.
You could even imagine them saying, like, this was a a baby sea serpent. This 40-foot one's just it's just a fledgling. It's just
exactly,
a baby.
Exactly.
It's not even a grown-up. That's why
the one that we fought,
yeah,
was at least three times as big. Yeah,
yeah. So there you go: sea serpents, mermaids, and the kraken, and then of course back to, you know, closer to home for me at least. It's not really ocean mystery, but it's in a deep loch, let's say. Of course, we've got to talk about Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Said to live in Lake Loch Ness. Lake Loch Ness? That makes no sense. Loch Ness. Which is a freshwater loch in Scotland.
You sound like you're not from Scotland, Alex.
I've been to Loch Ness twice now, so haven't seen... Have you? Yeah, I haven't seen Nessie either time.
That's a matter sadly. Of time. Matter of time, isn't it?
Yeah. But there are likely explanations for what Nessie could be. And some of these make sense to me, having been there.
Yeah, okay.
First one, optical illusion. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Loch Ness, if you're like standing there looking out at the loch, it's really deep. The water is very dark. It's murky and it's constantly moving.
Yeah.
Like the ripples in it. I don't know. It looks like... I can imagine if you stare at it for long enough, you're going to see some sea serpent or something in there.
Yes.
I can see some optical illusions at play there. The play of light and shadows on the water surface. There's something about it. It's different to other bodies of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, there have been several hoaxes. The, what's it called? The really famous one.
Oh, yeah.
God, I've got to look that up. The surgeon's photograph, isn't it, or something? Robert Wilson's 1934
that's the one.
Picture. Yeah, so that's the really famous one that you see coming out of the water, and of course it was a hoax. But, I mean, that sort of thing just spreads the myth around and people want to go out and search for it even more. Misidentifications as well. Sorry, Martin.
So I've never actually noticed before now. The shadow on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it looks like pretty fake, but then there's a shadow on the water that also looks like it's just not right.
On that photograph, on the picture, the famous hoax one.
Yeah. It's suggesting that the sun is coming directly from behind the monster, like perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's just very unlikely.
It's clearly just a silhouette outline of something.
Yeah.
But misidentifications is another one, and I can see this. So, like, seals are also known to be prone in the loch. And if you see, some people think that if you see seals jumping in the water, you know, one after the other, you could confuse that as one long thing in the water. If that makes sense,
okay.
Like
yeah,
it will kind of create an illusion of some kind of giant sea serpent in the water. When actually it's just three seals swimming in a line.
They just love, you know, synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
That's it.
So yeah, I think there's plenty of explanations for the Loch Ness Monster. But
yes.
I like to believe that Nessie could still be out there. Yeah, I mean, also sturgeons. Sturgeons are massive fish and they are known to be in the loch as well. And there was a video that I saw recently, I think it was posted online, of a sturgeon in Canada. And I saw the video and I was like, well, that's a sea monster.
That's
like,
it.
If I didn't know anything any better, I would say that's a sea monster. So I think that is actually probably the most likely explanation for Nessie.
Yeah.
Just a giant fish.
Yes. I think that's... Yeah, Nessie's a difficult one because as people have been, it's so high profile. People have been looking for the origin of Nessie for so long. It's like, it's either there or it's something else. Otherwise you would have found evidence. Like, it's been too long now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just been too long.
Yeah.
But we still believe. We still believe.
We still believe. It's a popular...
It is.
Popular tourist attraction. It's a great tourist attraction, actually, because it's like, still manages to get people to come and visit, and yet they go away empty-handed every single time. But let us know in the comments on YouTube or on the spot on the podcast platform of your choice. It doesn't have to be Spotify. You know, if there's any that we missed that you would have liked us to talk about. What's your favorite? What's your favorite ocean myth or legend? And who knows, maybe we'll do a part two at some point, because there's definitely, we haven't exhausted any of them at all. What's your favorite, Martin?
No, true. My favorite. I mean, the Loch Ness Monster is fantastic and an absolute classic. Are you talking about out of all of the mysteries or out of the...
Yeah.
Throughout the last year.
Maybe the ones that we've discussed this evening, I guess.
Of course, yeah, of course. I do really like Yonaguni.
That is a good
one. Just because I can imagine when they first discovered that, they must have been like, this is it, we found it. We found an underwater city. This must be.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other explanation for it, because it looks so man-made.
But also, like,
and then of course that's when the scientists come in and say you're wrong. But for that moment, that discovery must have been incredible.
But also, like, it wasn't even like, oh, okay, this was a city that sank. They must have been thinking so confused, because like, this was carved out of rock. Who did this? This must have been thousands of years old. How did they have the technology to do something like this?
Mad. Yeah.
Indeed. Huh. Well, yeah. Martin, sadly, as there's just the two of us, we can't really do a quiz this week.
No, it becomes difficult, doesn't it?
But thank you for indulging me in this discussion about myths and legends. And
no, it's been fun.
It has been fun. And I hope everyone else out there listening enjoyed this discussion. And as we say, let us know if there's anything you would like to see us discuss or listen to us discuss. You can chat to us at JInterestingYT on Twitter, or I'm at JustAlexing.
And I'm at MartInteresting.
Anything else? Anything else we need to say, Martin? Oh, I need to do the riddle. Oh,
The riddle. Oh, yes.
Do you want it again?
Yeah, go on.
I am 4 times as old as my daughter. In 20 years' time, I shall be twice as old as her. How old are we now?
I'm 4 times as old.
Yeah.
In 20 years' time. Okay. It's not great if I'm trying to work it out on the spot, is it?
That's good listening.
Divided by 4 equals 25, and that'd be plus 20.
I will say someone in the comments has got it.
I haven't looked at the comments. I think it's going to be... It's early 40s, definitely, from where I was at. I'm pretty sure it's early 40, as in, like, if he or she would be 40-something, because divided by 4 would be 10, plus 20 would be 30, and then you're looking at, like, 60 to 30 is, like, the averages. Twice as old, right?
Twice as old, sorry.
So it's going to be, like, my thoughts. I got to 42 was... 42 was 10.5, which would be 30.5 to 62, which then is not quite twice. It's like 61. So it's going to be 43, maybe 43, something like that.
Well, Martin, I don't know why you went so specific, because you could have just rounded down. He would be 40 and his daughter would be 10.
There we go. 40, 10, 30. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there you go. And well done to C.S. Drummerson in the chat for getting the answer right. You're 40 and your daughter is 10. Well done.
40 divided by 4 is 10, plus 30 to 60. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. I've gone.
I don't know why I went so specific.
I've done a complete 180 from the last riddle. This one actually involves some reasoning and logic. Although it's not the most exciting one, is it? I prefer to find out what Elizabeth's drinking. Based on logic, what is Elizabeth drinking? That's my favourite riddle of all time.
Based on logic.
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst riddle I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I did look up some pretty bad riddles before this, just in case you didn't have one.
Oh, okay.
What was...
you can save them for next week, or... I mean, I'm always partial to a bad riddle, so...
Okay. Oh, where was it now?
This, but the problem is, Martin, this would just make Robin even more seething if he is out there listening to us. He's going to hate us even more.
But then he brings his, like, Norman Conquest riddles every week, doesn't he? Oh, that was it. What has a head and a tail but no body?
Head and a tail but no body.
Yeah.
What has a head and a tail? Oh my gosh, a coin.
Yay!
There we go. That's not bad.
That's quite fun. That's quite fun, isn't it? That's an easy one. Yeah.
Nice.
Well done. Very good.
Well, thank you, Martin. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. And we shall see you again in the next podcast. If there is an option to review us, if you have enjoyed this episode, that's always lovely. And I think we are going to read out some of the reviews in an upcoming episode. So get your reviews in and please make it 5 stars. That really does help the podcast out. But thank you, everyone, once again. Have a lovely week, and we shall see you next time.
Absolutely. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.